Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It is odd, in a churchly way, that we celebrate joy, this Joy Sunday of Advent, by hearing of a man in prison because the world did not like his message. Such, however, is the joy of each and every Christian. It is never going to be found in the situations we find ourselves in. It will always be found in who Christ is and what Christ has done. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. This additional beatitude from our Lord in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says this. In an age that is filled with offense, offense is given, offense is taken, Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended. Blessed is the one who is not scandalized by him. Jesus speaks truth, and whatever that truth is, blessed are you if you are not offended by it. This includes so many things in Scripture. His deepening of the commandments, explaining them spiritually to include things like lust and anger, being equivalent to adultery and murder. His commendation of marriage as his own work and the forbidding of divorce, what God hath put together, let no one tear asunder. His words about the love of money and idolatry of it. That you can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't serve God and money. And to refuse to give is to steal from him. His words about the office of the ministry, that these men are sent by him to care for your soul and must give an account as stewards, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. His words about proper judgment, reflecting upon the log in your own eye before addressing the speck that is in your neighbor's, and then calling out sin even when it's unpopular. His words about casting the first stone, especially when you are feeling all self-righteous. His words about male and female, each distinct with its own proper roles. His words about how he is the only way to heaven, that there is no other name given under heaven by which men are to be saved. His words about your works, even your best stuff not being enough to gain heaven itself, that the sick are in need of the physician, and unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter heaven. His words about creation, that God created everything there is by the power of his word out of nothing in 6 days, like he said. His words condemning the idolatry of worry. His words about loving your enemies, yes, even and especially those enemies who come to mind at the mention of the word. His words about reconciling with your fellow Christians, that as you treat them, so he will treat you. His words about making peace, that blessed are the peacemakers. His words about his forgiveness for you and the resultant forgiveness then that you would show to others. That if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. And then his words about things like closed communion. His words chastising, being too busy to sit at his feet and listen to his word. For the one who sits at his feet and listens to his word has chosen the better part. Your flesh will be offended by these and by every word that comes from the mouth of our Lord. When this happens, realize that your flesh, your sinful nature, is trying to hold on to you in a death grip, a grip that ends in your death. that you are to repent of such fleshly living, so that this, in the end, blessed are those who are not offended in me, is another call to live in that newness of life, that blessedness of life that Christ Jesus baptized you into. That you are Christians, you are freed from the flesh and all of its passions and its desires, and that is the work of Christ for you. In John's Gospel, there is a time when Jesus offended almost everyone. He was speaking of eating his body and drinking his blood by believing in him. And this was too much for the people. And almost all of them left him. When Jesus then turned to his disciples and asked them, "Would you like to go as well?" Peter replied on their behalf, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That Jesus' words, no matter how offensive they might be, are words of eternal life. Never forget that. No matter how much the hateful world would like to point and hate Jesus, no matter how mean they would like to paint him, no matter how much then they would like to paint you as hateful and mean because you follow Jesus, no matter how much your own flesh demands that you get upset at Jesus' teachings, no matter how much the devil would tempt you to do such things, no matter how much the world wants you to believe in a different Jesus, no, the real Jesus, he said exclusive things. He said offensive things. But he said true things. Things that give life. When you hear something from the scriptures or some teaching from this pulpit in accord with those scriptures, beware lest offense take you over and rob you of being blessed by Jesus' word. That blessed are you if you are not offended by Jesus, the God who died to save you. John is still in prison, but he's still sending people to Jesus, this time his disciples. He sends them this time with a plea. Are you the Christ, or shall we look for another? It is a cry similar to the cries you hear in the Psalms. How long, O Lord? That John has been decreasing just like he said, and Jesus has been increasing. And John sits in prison. He sits in prison for preaching godly marriage to his ruler, Herod. And his cry goes out to his Lord. How long? God's saints, throughout time, in their own faith, have gotten the timing wrong. Eve cried out right after being cast out from the garden. Eve cries out right after giving birth to Cain that she has received the promised deliverer from the serpent. We know how Cain works out. Sarah, in her haste to make sure that this promised son comes to Abraham, seeks to get a child for Abraham by way of Hagar. The disciples ask of the resurrected Jesus at his ascension, "Now will you restore the kingdom?" That eager and zealous in their faith, they ask these things, but not doubt. John always does what he was sent to do, to prepare the way. He sends his disciples to hear, and he is blessed by their hearing, their report that comes back to him as well. Because the Lord doesn't forget those who believe in him. The Lord doesn't forget those who aren't offended by him, but are hated by the world for it. The Lord doesn't forget those who suffer for his name's sake. That Jesus bears witness to the greatness of John and also gives him and those looking on his word about himself. Yes, he is the Christ. Look and see. Jesus is doing what the Scripture said he would do. That he is not just talk. No, his deeds speak. They are signs of who he is. That he does the things the prophets said the Christ would do. That the blind see, lame walk, lepers cleanse, deaf hear, dead are being raised, and the gospel is being preached to the poor. Now the order is important. The last one is the greatest. The gospel being preached to the poor is greater than any earthly miracle. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, eternal salvation. The preaching of the gospel is the greatest treasure that you can hear, the greatest treasure you can have all of your life. That there's nothing greater. But again, your flesh would want you to think that there are any number of things that are greater than just simple words like the gospel. But no. The preaching of the gospel is the greatest. Jesus once said in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well who didn't know who he was or what he had to offer to her, but only thought of someone who needed something from her, "If you only knew the treasure that was right in front of you." And so also he says to you, if you only knew the greatness of having the pure gospel preached to you, the absolution that you heard at the beginning of this service, do you know what great thing was just done for you through those words? Do you know how many Christians in history have desired to hear those words? That Jesus is the Christ. And that he continues to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, just as he did to the poor of his own time. The prophet Isaiah is the chief one that covered these things, both the earthly healings, but also the preaching of the gospel to those who needed to hear it. That he preached with the most graceful lips, Isaiah says, that the Christ would speak to the weary at the proper time, preaching to the distressed, binding up broken hearts, deliverance to the captives, freedom to those who are bound in the despair of their sin. That 1 John would teach us that Jesus destroys the works of the devil, the work that sin had ushered into the world, that not only the sicknesses and the death by healings and resurrections, but also the condemnation, that Christ destroyed the work of the devil in bringing condemnation by condemning death and forgiving sin. That Christ Jesus has reversed all of these, and he's reversed them by word and by deed. That he healed all those outward things of the body, but then also healed by the power of his word, rooted back to the bloody suffering of the cross, he healed the deeper wound of sin. The very thing which brings forth all those outward things like sickness and death. And the glory of this morning, the glory of your morning, is that Christ has not stopped doing this. That Christ comes to the hurting, to the despairing, to the weak, to those who mourn their sins, the ones who feel the sting of sin and the weight and the pressures of the world. He sheds his light upon the darkness, enlightening our eyes and our hearts, giving light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. And as he once healed the lame, he directs our feet unto the way of peace, walking in the commandments of our Lord. As he cleansed lepers, he cleanses us of the awful leprosy of original sin, that nasty numbing of sin and dulling of our consciences. So cleansed then by the word or by Christ's blood to be as white as the snow that just fell this weekend. Just as he caused the mute to speak and the deaf to hear, He opens our lips to sing his praises and gives us ears to hear, opening our hearts to receive and to understand his word. As he raised the dead, he raises us from being dead to sin, or to be dead to sin, and live in the newness of life, all by his life-giving word. Isaiah said it in our hymn, this opening hymn today, saying it, "Comfort, comfort, you my people." This is the root of our rejoicing, that comfort is what Jesus brings, that the rotten stuff in your life, the stuff that you have done for you and for and to yourself, the stuff that you've done to others, and even the stuff that others have done to you, he has borne those sins in his flesh to the cross. The rotting world that lives all around you, with all of its nasty temptations, with all of its mind-wrecking assaults, all of its soul-defiling filth, the Lord has defeated the world. And at the last, he will repay it for all it deserves for what it has done to you, his people. The devil, the old evil foe who has drawn you down into the pit more times than you will recall, he has stomped his head beneath his bruised heel. That the damage that has been done to you, that this Christ, Jesus, he cares for with comfort and his balm of gracious healing. The anguish and the torment and the disasters of your hearts and your minds, he brings calm to it with power greater than the power that he used to calm the wind and the wave. That he is Christ. And this is what he was sent for to do for you. That he has done it by the mystery of his holy incarnation, his nativity, his baptism, fasting, temptation, by his agony and bloody sweat, by his cross and passion, by his precious death and his burial, and by his glorious resurrection and ascension. And yes, for you now, by the sending of his Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And all of this is foretold in the prophets, and all of this is fulfilled in Christ. Blessed is he who is not offended by Jesus, that John gave witness by word and by deed, calling Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and pointing this out, this using his forerunner's finger, pointing that finger at Jesus. This is the Lamb. This is the light of the world. And John gave witness by suffering, by not being offended by Jesus and his word. And he is still blessed for it. As you hear the teachings of Christ, take heart and take heed. His words are sweet to your new nature. His words are bitter to your flesh. But his words are all a blessing for you as you hear them. May God grant that you never be offended by Jesus. Never to give in to your flesh's evil desire to reject or deny the Christ. Even if it costs you in this life. Even if it costs you your life. For the one who is not offended in him has a greater life yet to come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.